Sport in Ireland has always been seen as a man's game, although in recent times we have seen a rise in the popularity of women's sport. This documentary will focus on women's participation in sport in Dublin. In June 2015, Raheny United merged with Shelburne, and they are now known as Shelburne Ladies Football Club. Raheny United were one of the most successful football teams in recent times. We paid a visit to a Shelburne training session, and I spoke to player Shauna Cook about her life in football.
Let's go for 5, 4, 3, 2, and jog. It's up, okay? One leg straight, one leg bent. Close to the sky, right hand come across.
I'm obviously from Coolock, where, you know, football's the game. I grew up with a lot of young boys on the road. My dad was a coach, a player himself, and I don't think I really had any other choice. You know, my best friend was a guy, he plays in professionally now in England, so I think people are more likely to bring their children to a men's game or sit in and watch a match on television, and I think, you know, that's a crying shame. It would be great, you know, there's a lot of local clubs now playing in good facilities, good stadiums, playing on Saturday evenings, Sundays, and hopefully, you know, we can start encouraging more. I know the Ladies All-Ireland GAA final, that had a great turnout, you know, and it's also about advertisement and, you know, the kind of associations pushing the game as well. The advice is just to get involved. It doesn't have to be soccer, it can be any sport, you know. You know, we've had girls here that have been playing for the team and have gone off and played rugby or basketball or, you know, just into another sport. And I think once you can get involved in one sport, it's easier to go on to another one. It would be nice to see more, you know, local sponsors coming in and sponsoring teams. I know that there's trouble there because we obviously don't get the television coverage. So it all goes hand in hand, but like I think if companies can start following the suit a little, and you know, if you look at it, it's something that can grow together. 2 years ago I made the decision to step away because of my mental health, and at that stage, you know, I just had no kind of support around me. I felt like, you know, I was a bit on my own, and football was kind of like a source of anxiety for me. Since I've come back, you know, it's been a great stress reliever. I have a good career outside of football. It does come with its own pressure, so it's great to be able to come up here and just forget about you know, work, social life, anything going on at home, get out onto a pitch, run it off. At the start of the season, I was kind of feeling like I made the wrong decision. The UCD game was a bit of a downer for me. I came off that feeling like I'd made a big, you know, shocking decision to go back to football. But, you know, I texted the girls and they all just said, like, listen, you know, don't worry about it. We're here, just come training, get yourself back down, and we'll just figure it out day by day, and it's just great to have that.
We then spoke to Rebecca Cree, who talked to us about the importance of social media.
Our club especially is great at promoting social media stuff around women's football, and I suppose that's been a positive, and I think other clubs need to get on top of that and push it, and skills and stuff, you know. The FAI have been doing well the last year or so pushing it, but I think a lot more needs to be done. You know, you look at the men's team, you know, they're probably getting paid every time they're coming in, the Irish team, and our senior girls don't get nothing really when they come into playing. Girls are leaving work and, you know, college and school to go and play for their country, whereas the men are doing it week in, week out in clubs and getting hundreds of grand, you know, and little things like that. It's only small incentives, I suppose, but yeah, I think a lot needs to be done.
Casey McQuillan is the director of football at Shelburne, and he spoke about the players' life balance.
They have to juggle family life, work life, all that, and they get no monetary reward. If anything, they have to pay memberships and it costs them money, you know. They might get a bit of limelight on the telly if they reach the Aviva, but only two teams reach the Aviva. So, you know, you have a lot more girls playing National League level than that. That's not enough. Can we compare it to men's football financially? We're not getting the same financial support, so therefore you can't give the same financial support to players. You know, we need more people. There's a lot of people support women's football, but they don't come out of the front room. They'll go on to Twitter or they'll go on to Facebook and they say we should be getting this and we should be getting that. They have a chance to help us, but they don't. You know, and I've got to say it the way I see it. You know, it's great to talk on a computer, but we need to see people at games. And you're only charging €3 or €4 a win. You know, people forget the expenses of travelling around the country all year. It's a big ask of the committee of Shelburne. And it's a big ask for any National League club to do that. So we need people to kind of help out, you know. I just think we've gone into this age of digital media and all that, and we've lost touch with actually putting bums on seats, you know, and the excitement is being at a game, not looking at the results on Twitter as they come up. We need to get the best coaches in. We need to get the best referees in. and I'm not knocking male or female, but we have this attitude in Ireland that if it's the female game, we need females. We don't need females. We don't need males. We need the best people involved in the game. And a lot of people that get involved are usually people that haven't got to the top level in men's football. That's not good enough. Our girls deserve better. For their attitude, their effort, their commitment, they deserve the best people that you can get in football. And that's one of the things that needs to change. We need to look at quality off the pitch because we have quality on the pitch.
Continental Tire sponsor the Women's National League. Do you feel they're a good sponsor for the league?
We don't see the benefit of Continental Tire sponsoring the league. It doesn't filter down to club level. Now, they will tell you it filters down because you get support from this or that. It's not good enough. You know, I don't know what Continental Tires sponsored the league. We know what Lidl sponsored the GAA. We know what they put in. We know what they want to achieve out of it. And we know what their outcome is at the end. We don't know anything. You know, that's a big problem. But in saying that, that's a problem we have with our governing organisation. But we still have a responsibility to go out and raise our own money and fund them. We can't rely on the handouts or the support. We need to be building a model that we can maintain ourselves without having to bow to other people and be grateful for. You know, we'll throw you €500 and you're meant to be happy. I'm not happy with that. You know, I want to be standalone. I want their club to be standalone. I don't want to be relying on anybody else just because they have money. Will money help? Money will hugely help. But we're very lucky to have a sponsor in eFlow, and we're very lucky to have Michael Barrable Motors. You know, there's two massive sponsors we have within the club that helps us operate the way we operate in the women's side. Many of the men's side would be jealous of that. We still need more. I know other clubs are struggling. I know some players are paying upwards of €500 a year to play National League football. I just think it's unsustainable, but I think we're putting stuff on paper to make it look like we have good leagues, you know, and we don't. We can have better leagues. That's my issue. It's not that people ain't trying. I just think they're setting the bar too low. The women's rugby have proven beyond doubt that if people pull together and give the support that's needed, what they can achieve is beyond even their dreams, you know. So we've got to take on that attitude in soccer. And if we start taking on that attitude and stop, we've to worry about this and we've to worry about that, well, then we might actually get somewhere. Because I believe the strides that can be made in women's football are so much bigger than any gains they'll make in the men's side of the game.
In January 2016, Lidl signed a 3-year sponsorship deal with Ladies Gaelic Football. In the first year, they have committed to investing over €1.5 million into the game. We spoke to sponsorship manager Jennifer Gleeson about the contribution Lidl have made.
I suppose as a company, we've only been in Ireland for the last 16 years, but if you take even in the south of Ireland, we've 146 stores. So it was time, we felt, as a brand to invest in a big sponsorship. It's not something we had done previously, so we have charity partnerships with the likes of Barrowstown and Crosscare, and we do quite a lot of CSR activity, but we hadn't really done anything on the scale that we have done so with Ladies Gaelic Football. So I suppose in terms of it being the right time, it felt like it was right for us and for a brand to be very much consumer facing. And then I suppose in terms of fit, Ladies Gaelic Football just presented itself as a really good fit for our organisation. So the factors involved were, I suppose the fact that it's GA and Ladies Gaelic Football are so, I suppose, easily accessible for every single member of the community, and it's very much locally and community focused, and we have a store in every single county, so it allowed us to, I suppose, have a platform on have a sponsorship on a national platform that could then work in every single local community and town. Sponsorship sometimes is about just what feels right, and I think the fact that Ladies Gaelic Football is a young organisation, that's often, I suppose, people confuse the GA and the LGFA, they're two different organisations, and it's a very young organisation. So I think we identified with the ambition of the organisation and of its players and members, which are obviously all female, and as you say, would do the majority of the household shopping. Take women's sport in general and the high dropout rate kind of when it reaches teenage years, and it's a big problem for a lot of sports, but in particular for women's sports. I mean, there's so many factors I could even begin to imagine, even in terms of how women support other women in sport. Like, there's definitely, you know, an issue around, you've 80,000 people in Croke Park for a men's final, and Dublin were participating in this year's final, and why wouldn't those fans go and support the ladies who are on the following weekend? Now, in saying that, we had a record attendance this year. In terms of coverage that it receives very little media prominence. I suppose if people aren't aware of it, then they can't get involved in it. But then, I mean, I was at a marketing event there last week where Ryan Nugent from RTÉ said, you know, if there are half full stadiums, then it's not an attractive thing to broadcast on live TV. So there's a bit of is it chicken and egg? Do we give it more coverage? Not necessarily because, I mean, it's deserving of it, or and maybe then the interest will come, or does there need to be interest before there's coverage? I think it's one of those ongoing debates.
Pearl Slattery from Shelburne also discussed the issue of funding.
Funding, sponsorship, we don't get anything, like not even petrol money. So you're actually losing out on money, I think, when you play women's football in this country, where boys, they're either paid weekly, or if they're not, they're sponsored, or they're getting boots or something. As simple as that, even in GAA, it's the same. I think it's getting a little bit better because Lidl have come in with them. But I think in women's football, something like that needs to happen just to give the girls a push on. And I think sponsorships could be good for players because I think that'll keep players in it longer. I've known people who have to give up because of work, school, college, leaving the country to go play, to get recognised. I think if you get sponsorships in and funding for players, even if it is just petrol money, like we used to have people coming up from Limerick, Cork, 3 times a week, like, and they wouldn't be getting any money back. So when you're losing out on money, I think that's when it's tough for girls. I'm not saying it's about money, but a bit of sponsorship and funding would prevent people leaving the country, I think. And still, there is a little bit of a stigma with women's football in the country. Like, it is a men's game, if you like, but it has improved over the years, but it's definitely still there, I think.
Sport Ireland released their Speak report in 2014. It revealed that only 1% of the €13 million from their local sports project fund went into women's sport. We contacted Sport Ireland to make a comment on the report, but there was no response. We spoke to Dr. Olivia Hurley, sports psychologist at UCD, who discussed the mental aspect of sport.
In sports psychology, we look at all, you know, we study empirically the effects that taking part in physical activity and taking part in elite sport has on individuals. And we know from the research that we've done and from kind of collaborating with our sports science colleagues in physiology, etc., that when we take part in physical activity, it has an impact on our bodies and the kind of chemicals that we secrete and the hormones that, you know, we kind of have circulating around our bodies.
Perfect.
So, and there's obviously a physical benefit from it, but there's also a mental benefit because, you know, things don't just stop at the neck. You know, the hormones and the chemicals and all actually have there's a brain reaction as well, okay?
Yeah.
So in terms of physical health, we know that, like, you know, when it improves heart and lung capacity, it makes you fitter, you're not out of breath, walking up the stairs, etc. It also has, I'd say, the psychological benefit of secreting in the brain things like neurotransmitters like serotonin and then in the body adrenaline and, you know, oxytocin, which is like one of our kind of like a happy hormone as well, endorphins. So it gives us that sense of feeling good, not as much media coverage. It's getting better, I would have to say. There's a lot more women in sport in Ireland, like Katie Taylor, like even people who've retired, like Dervil O'Rourke, you know, who are putting the spotlight on encouraging young people and women particularly and being good role models for them. One of the best initiatives of late has been, you know, getting on board people like, say, Lidl, you know, who sponsored the GA, like that very famous kind of, I suppose, there was a little bit of a, you know, the pink ball and there was a big controversy. It was actually really good marketing, a really good ploy to get people more aware of, actually, this was a strategy to get people talking about women in sports and playing Gaelic football, etc. But then they had some great ads on TV as well, and how they had young people, young women, talking about, you know, well, why shouldn't I take part in sport and why shouldn't I be like my, you know, kind of male counterparts at 14, 15, 16, where they're being supported in playing soccer and rugby and Gaelic, why shouldn't I be able to have the same opportunities and thus benefit from the same physical and psychological benefits that we've just talked about? So I think initiatives like that are great. I think there needs to be more of it. It would be great if, like, a lot of our female sports people could secure more funding from big corporate sponsors where they can see that these individuals have a role to play in influencing the activity levels of our young people, and by making them kind of, you know, or focusing on female as well as male, you know, kind of faces, it means that there's more opportunity for girls to feel they have somebody to relate to.
We asked Shelburne manager Mark Levy how many women drift away from the game each year.
We lose I think it's different in this club than some others. I think girls come in, they're playing at an elite level and they can fall the hump behind a little bit. They can fall out of favour, and we big squads are not getting the game time they would like. And instead of maybe moving to another club or another team, they tend to drift off and pick up other sports, particularly Gaelic, because they're very good at the soccer and they generally are the same in the Gaelic, so that's what happens, unfortunately. I think at other clubs they thin out a bit when the pressures come on with exams and stuff, and different than the boys, they don't really come back in, and the gap in the game becomes permanent then. There needs to be more females in sports. I think it is changing slowly. We see it in close to the soccer. Obviously, I see some of the like so-called smaller clubs, and I go there at the weekends with my younger girls, my own girls, and I see some of the other clubs have 2 and 3 under 10 teams and 2 and 3 under 12 teams, which is great to see. And if they can keep those numbers playing, they're going to do very well. I think it is just a numbers game. You know, and the lads' clubs to be more successful because they have the numbers. So, for me, and I think it is the same in the GAA and basketball and any of those other sports, it is numbers. Just getting more people out there playing the sports makes it stronger, yeah. We got criticised for a while of having the best players, and Shelbourne win because they have the best players or because their players get picked for academies and the Ireland teams and stuff. And I've seen that slowly change over the last 2 years. I've seen people go off and you know, replicate some of the stuff we do, and we've had some clubs that's asked us to as coaches to go and help them out and go to their training sessions, which we had no problem doing, which I thought was great to see. People wanted some help, no bother. Some clubs have really come on. Enniskerry is doing very well, Cabin Teely is doing very well, Home Farm are really working hard. I go to Rathaut, I go to Kentstown and Meath. You know, there's some great stuff going on, and they are getting big numbers, and you know, they get their success and they work hard for it like we do. So it's changing. They're no longer criticising Shelbourne and stuff. They've gone off and they're doing it themselves, and I think the longer they stay at it, the better.
So what do you think needs to change to improve women's sports?
I do think that there needs to be probably more funding put into our female sports in order to support our female athletes to reach high levels. You know, our numbers have increased, and yet we still see our levels of obesity and our levels of inactivity increasing as well. So kind of need to keep, you know, we can't sit on our laurels. We have to keep pushing that message in order to help get your young girls into sport, you know, be able to explain the physical, psychological, social benefits. It's so important to get them into sport at a young age, purely for the fun of it.
Promotion has a lot to do with it, you know, getting it out there. You know, advertising games, even on a league base, like we play week in, week out, and you don't really see anything unless it's on our club page on Facebook or Twitter. And I think if national radios and say national television stations, papers got on top of that and promoted it and pushed it, you get the numbers out there, and they only have to look at our game on Sunday to see that, you know, there's great talent on show in this country from female players. It's just people getting numbers to matches and bums on seats, I suppose.
Football in Europe is at its infancy. In the women's side, we can go in at the top. Instead, we set the bar and we accept, oh well, you know, we can have an amateur league that will compete every year, and that's great, and we'll send our players away. Why should we? You know, that's my problem. Why should we set a bar that low? We're much better than that. The girls are much better than that. And with the right people in, they'll achieve even more.
We're not full-time here. We have to work and play. And I think if you go to other countries and people are given that option, I don't know whether it'd be as big. And in fairness to the Irish girls, it is just because we enjoy it. Like, we're in other countries, it's a job, it's money, it's a contract, it's everything else. So here it's enjoyment, I feel. That's probably the difference between us and the States.
Needs more recognition and stuff like that. It needs to be televised a lot more. It needs more promotion and stuff done for women's football in Ireland. A lot like the way it is done in England. It's not a lot, but there's a big difference between England and Ireland. That's like for promotion of women's football.
I'd like to see clubs form links with universities to keep girls here. And then hopefully the game can go professional. I think it's a long way off that, you know, because we need to get people out watching the games first of all to start creating revenue for the clubs, and we can start putting people in full-time positions behind the scenes, you know, social media, marketing, coaches. But I'd like to see, you know, the girls still in the country, the young girls still playing, being able to earn a living out of the game, studying, getting degrees. You know, and pushing on, just not in football but career wise as well, because I think for a lot of girls, like, you have to put your career on hold if you want to play football at a high level, and I don't think it's a good sacrifice in the long run.
We would like to thank the following people in their assistance in making this documentary: Shelbourne Ladies Football Club, Near FM, Dr. Olivia Hurley, Jennifer Gleeson of Little Ireland, Shauna Cook, Rebecca Cree, Casey McQuillan, Pearl Slattery, and Mark Levy. I'm Rebecca Murphy, presenter of the documentary, and I would like to thank my team, Dara Maher and Kevin Madden.